The island of Hawaii is the site of major protests these days. The reason? The building of the world's largest optical telescope on the summit of Mauna Kea on the Big Island. Mauna Kea is one of two mountains on Hawaii and is already home to a number of internationally run telescopes that take advantage of clear skies above the clouds. But Native Hawaiian activists who have for years opposed the building of telescopes have made this new telescope their latest target. The 30-meter telescope, or TMT, will have a mirror almost 100 feet in diameter. Earlier this week, professors and students at the University of Hawaii's Honolulu campus walked out of classes in protest of the telescope that has been spearheaded by the California Institute of Technology in Pasadena in collaboration with UH. The governments of the United States, China, Japan, India, and Canada are also partnering on the project. Some weeks ago, activists blocked access of construction workers on Mauna Kea to the telescope site, with dozens of arrests resulting. There was a temporary moratorium on construction by Governor David Ige, which was just extended for another week. But many have remained near the summit in tents. Native Hawaiians consider Mauna Kea's summit sacred. There have been solidarity protests all over the U.S. and the world. Joining us now live from Hawaii is Jonathan Osorio. He's a professor at the Kamaka Okalani Center for Hawaiian Studies at the University of Hawaii, Manoa. His recent publications include The Value of Hawaii, Knowing the Past and Shaping the Future, which he co-edited and authored, and Dismembering Lahui, the History of the Hawaiian Nation to 1887. He is also a composer and singer and has been recording Hawaiian music since 1975. Now joining us live from near the summit of Mauna Kea by phone is Kahukahi Kanuha, a young activist and preschool teacher living in Kona on the Big Island. He's been camping on Mauna Kea at the 9,000 foot level for weeks now, along with a number of other activists intent on stopping the building of the TMT. I'd like to start with John first. Jonathan, can you explain why there's such opposition from many Native Hawaiians and others to the TMT? Astronomers are saying that this is in the interests of science and learning. It's not an issue of corporate exploitation of resources. It's consistent with Hawaiian principles of exploration, given that some of the earliest astronomers were Hawaiian people. How do you respond?
Well, you know, the telescope corporations basically have had a long time to be able to refine their narrative about the building of this, but actually the 31-meter telescope comes at the end of a very long period of sort of explosion of telescopes on that mountain that were really not envisioned by anyone when the university made that lease. And what has actually happened is that many of those telescopes have gone in really ignoring the impact that it had on the mountain. They were not done correctly. And in fact, this morning in the newspaper, there's an article that quotes several people who are saying, you know, that this is a project that's really being done right, that because of Native Hawaiian input and consultation over the last few years, they can rest assured that as sort of in opposition to all of the other projects that came before this, this one will be somehow above board. But it is also, by many degrees of scale, the very largest thing that we've ever seen. Its sheer size and the fact that it's going to, you know, basically require the excavation of a fairly substantial crater on that part of the mountain in order to build it. These are the things that have sort of added fuel to people's resistance to the building of this telescope.
Now, I understand on the one hand, Mauna Kea is considered extremely sacred for Native Hawaiians, and maybe you could explain that for our audience here in the mainland United States, but it's also an issue of environmental preservation, isn't it?
It absolutely is. You know, basically what we're looking at here is a conservation district. And what has actually been created within this conservation district is an industrial park. This means, in effect, that when we designate a place conservation, if we don't treat it as a conservation area, it causes us to wonder whether or not that designation has any real meaning whatsoever for policymakers. And, you know, you really do need to talk to, you need to talk to those people who are on the mountain to find out why, you know, they understand this place is sacred.
And actually, that's a really good segue.
Their body's there.
That's a good segue to our guest, Kahukahi Kanuha, who is a young activist. He's a preschool teacher teaching at Kona on the Big Island. He's been camping in Mauna Kea at the 9,000-foot level, not at the actual summit, for a number of weeks now, along with a number of activists intent on stopping the building of the TMT. Are you with us, Kahukahi?
Hi, aloha.
Thanks so much for joining us. I know it's very early in the morning. They're 5:40 a.m. actually, so I appreciate you joining us. It's probably still dark. Can you tell us why you are where you are, why you're there?
We're up here on the slopes of Mauna Wakea, also known as Mauna Kea. As you mentioned, we're at the 9,200 feet level, right across the visitor center. Yesterday actually made 3 weeks since we started our encampment here on the mountain. And we are here to stop and to not allow any further desecration of our sacred mountain. As I just heard Professor Osorio mentioning that the state of Hawaii had designated these lands as conservation lands. And so on Hawaii Island, for regular households, the tallest a building can be is three stories. You know, in the hotel areas and the developmental districts, those are the tallest it can be is seven stories. And then here, at the peak of a mountain, standing at 13,000 feet high, in lands designated as conservation, they have approved, they being the state of Hawaii and the courts, have approved a huge, huge telescope that will be two stories below ground, 18 stories above the ground, 34,000 square feet, an 8-acre footprint with 3,400 feet of new road. This is comparable in size to Aloha Stadium, which is a 50,000-person capacity stadium here in Hawaii on the island of Oahu, but this would just be much taller. And so it's absolutely ridiculous, we think, that they are able to justify having a building that size on a sacred mountain and in lands designated as conservational. And so we're here to hold the state, hold the university, hold these developers accountable, because this is just, we think it's absolutely ludicrous that they would be able to justify this.
Now, Jonathan Osorio, there's the jobs argument, which we often hear. We hear this a lot, for example, with relation to the Keystone XL pipeline, and that these projects will bring jobs to the local economy. How do you respond?
You know, I don't know how many jobs this construction will bring to the local economy. I do know that that is the familiar kind of argument that they bring out, that people bring out whenever you're talking about a project that has other kinds of impacts. And the fact of the matter is that we really don't know how many jobs they're talking about, and we also don't know, you know, we also don't. This has been really the point of Value of Hawaii. There has never been since the 1950s and early 1960s, a comprehensive look at the way we use land and how we might use it more more profitably and more beneficially to the communities here. We've basically gone on this notion that if you have an investor and they're willing to spend $1.4 or $1.5 billion to build something, that this must be good for the economy. Whether or not it actually is good for the economy takes a little more analysis than this. Where does the bulk of the money go? Isn't it true that it's that most of the money will go to the crafting of the lenses and the mirrors? That this is really a fairly large project and economically beneficial to lots of people and not necessarily those who live on the island. I found it really interesting that TMT apparently as a part of its negotiations with people on Hawaii Island, have recently promised, you know, to use local labor. Does that mean that they never used local labor before for all of those other telescopes? This is about Hawaiian land, is it extremely valuable from the real estate sense, from the development sense, from the investment sense. But to those of us who live here, and those of us who live on the island, those of us who live on the land here, and those of us who trace our lineage on these lands back 2,000 years, more than 100 generations, this land has a different kind of value. And that value is vested in the fact that we consider ourselves descendants, you know, of that land. We consider ourselves related to it.
I want to turn back to Kahu Kahi, who is on Mauna Kea right now for 3 weeks. There was an op-ed that was published in Kaleo on Monday. This is the UH newspaper, by an undergraduate student named Alexis Akohido. And she wrote, quote, "I feel proud that the most powerful telescope ever built would be in Hawaii. All I could think about while listening to the presentation about the telescope was how awe-inspiring it would be. As a native Hawaiian, I feel that it is important to acknowledge our heritage, but we shouldn't blind ourselves to the future." Well, Kahu Kahi, how do you respond to that?
That's one person's perspective, and of course, everyone's entitled to their opinion, and I respect that. However, to say that we are blinding ourselves to the future by simply standing up for what we believe in and protecting, as Professor Osorio said, our ancestor. Yeah, we physically come from this land, and you cannot put any value on that. Our ancestors found Hawaii because they were extremely, extremely skilled scientists. They were able to look into the heavens and study the path and the movement of the stars, study the path and the movement of the moon and the sun and the winds and the currents and the swells and tides And they basically, in a time where most of the world thought that the world was flat, our ancestors were sailing across and traveling across the largest ocean in the world, thousands and thousands of miles. They weren't simply floating on a log and getting lucky and finding land. They set off with a purpose. They knew exactly what they were doing. They knew exactly where they were going. And they knew these things because they were extremely skilled scientists.
Let me just ask you, because we only have a few minutes left, Kahu Kahi, how long are you planning on staying where you are at the 9,200 foot level, where the visitor center is, where a lot of the astronomers who hope to use the TMT acclimate themselves before they go to the summit to do their observing? Where do you, or at least that's how it used to be when I was a graduate student, now it's all computer run, but how long do you plan on staying where you're at?
As long as it takes. As long as it takes, until we can put a stop to this, or at the very least until we can get these machines off of our mountain. They've had a moratorium on this construction for about a week and a half now, and they're scheduled to begin again on Monday. But as long as the machines are on the mountain, then we feel that it's absolutely necessary for us to be here. The TMT And the TMT officials and their project, we feel, have not been very transparent with us. They've been, in a sense, very sneaky. Mm-hmm. And so as long as the machines are here on the mountain, we will be here on the mountain.
So finally...
And we've got to stay until it's absolutely an end is put to it.
Jonathan Osorio, tell us a little bit about the broad swell of demonstrations and protest around this issue that's even gone beyond Hawaii. There have been even celebrities like Jason Momoa, who has a Native Hawaiian ancestry from Game of Thrones. He signed on. There's a social media campaign called We Are Mauna Kea. There was a campus walkout earlier this year that you participated in that took place in protest of the TMT. It's pretty strong.
Yeah, I believe that it's... that it's coming out of a sense of frustration that the people who live in Hawaii really have no control over, you know, where this economy goes or what happens to the land or what happens to communities. If you lived in Hawaii, you would have seen this transformation over the last, you know, over the last 15 or 60 years. And what has happened is that real estate has become so expensive that only a few people really can afford to own. We see a sort of sky is the limit. And that's really quite appropriate for Mauna Kea. We see a kind of sky is the limit for what land can actually cost here. And when you take a place that is so beautiful and gracious and majestic as Mauna Kea, and you say, we can even build whatever we want on the top of that mountain, then really the message you're sending is that no place is safe. It doesn't really matter, you know, whether you have lived for generations in a particular community. If there's enough money and enough promises made for jobs and economic improvement, no place is safe.
Well,
your home is not safe.
I want to thank both of you so much for joining us today, and we'll post information about the We Are Mauna Kea protests on our website, uprisingwithsonali.com, later today. Thank you so much. My guests are Jonathan Osorio, professor at the Kamakakua Kalani Center for Hawaiian Studies at the University of Hawaii at Manoa, and Kahukahi Kanuha, who is an activist who's been camping on Mauna Kea at the 9,000-foot level for weeks now, along with a number of others intent on stopping the building of the 30-meter telescope, which is slated to be the world's largest optical telescope.